You're late.
What the hell are you doing here? I thought you were playing hockey one.
The boss called. Arthur fell out.
Why the shutters closed?
Someone jammed gum in the locks.
Bunch of savages in this town.
That's what I said.
If I had known you were here, I'd have come even later. It smells like shoe polish.
Go open the store.
It is News Talk 1120 KMOX. Two Johns no waiting, except one of the Johns isn't here because, well, it's Friday and he's never here.
He's not even supposed to be here
today.
How timely is that?
Thank God you saved me for saying that.
Those voices, of course, Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson, the Clerks from Clerks and now Clerks 2. And guys, how long has it been since the first one came out?
I think it came out in the late 1800s, so that would be, I'm not really good with math.
It's been 116 years.
Yes, we've been frozen.
Frozen in time, and you both look great for the sequel, which is nice. Considering it's been 116.
I don't know how to take that one.
No, considering it's been 116 years, you know.
Well preserved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, going back to the first movie, and let's do a little talking about the setup for this one. Clerks 1 was a project for Kevin Smith, and I mean, it was his first real movie. But even he says it wasn't even a real movie.
I was going to say, you were giving him too much credit.
How did both of you end up involved in that? And then, Jeff, let's start with you.
You know, I knew Kevin from high school. We went to the same high school together. We graduated the same year. The video store that's featured in Clerks is where Kevin actually worked. I don't know why anyone needed to work there because there were never any customers.
And you were a patron. I mean, you were the one.
I was, because he gave me free videos and there was never any lines, so it was great to go there. It was actually kind of bad to return movies there when he wasn't around. Like, I didn't want to get him in trouble, so I'd always walk in with this stack of videos that I'd had for a month, and I'd go in and he wouldn't be there, and I'd just run back out the door. The lady was always like, "What's this guy with all the videos that comes in and runs back out with them?" But he was actually sitting there in that video store writing the script to Clerks, so I kind of knew what he was up to, but, you know, I didn't really think he was going to make a movie.
And you never actually saw yourself in his role.
100% no way. I would have ruined his movie, I would have thought. But he went away to film school, and later when he came back from film school, a friend of mine who was actually supposed to be in the movie was going to the audition, so I just tagged along with him and brought a pea shooter and was going to just shoot peas at him while he was auditioning.
To screw it up.
Exactly.
What were you doing at the time?
I was working for AT&T doing a regular 9-to-5 job and going to school for architecture.
You weren't that guy that calls up and goes, "Hey, do you want to switch?"
No, I wasn't quite that good of an employee. I just wouldn't show up. So
okay, well, that's good. And Brian, what about you? How did you end up into this thing?
Well, he held auditions for extras out of a theater that I had worked out of. I had been doing theatrical, stage work for about 2 or 3 years prior, and so the owner of the Playhouse called me up a month prior, said these guys have rented the theater and they want to start have me calling around actors to come down for auditions. I was like, "Oh, right, sure." The month went by, I totally forgot about it, and went the next day after he called saying, "Where were you?" I'm like, "Oh, I totally forgot," and auditioned as an extra. I didn't know what I was auditioning for because he didn't really give anybody scripts to read.
Yeah,
I just did a monologue. I mean, I could have been auditioning for porn for all I knew.
Which is explains why you weren't wearing any clothes.
Well,
that was weird.
It was, you know, the hot
all
actor
of us
chicks.
In the theater felt weird and uncomfortable.
And apparently that totally pleased him, and I got the role.
It was probably because of the no clothes thing.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, it worked out great, and all of a sudden, I mean, the thing was shot with a video camera, right, in black and white.
Oh, no video. Oh, it was 16mm. Black
okay.
and white. And everybody thinks that the black and white was an artistic choice, and it wasn't. It was just because it was cheaper to buy black and white stock, and we just couldn't afford lights to light a colored, you know, colored film.
And I
and
can't.
In typical Clerks form, we had a 16mm camera that made so much noise, we had to wrap it in leather jackets to quiet the noise because it was coming across the mics.
Yeah.
Like, so the camera looked like this big ball, like leather ball hanging in front of you.
Like those old time cameras that you see back in the day.
So did you have any history of acting? I mean, you said you were working for AT&T at the time.
The only acting I did at the time was calling in sick at work.
That's
that was my extent of acting.
So when you got to set up and you've got to do something like the salsa shark scene, what's going through your head? I mean,
not a whole lot.
Not much.
Like, don't screw up your lines. Don't screw up your lines.
Chewing gum, too.
Yeah. They actually, the chewing gum helps me to sort of settle down on film.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's why Randall is always...
Yeah, Randall's always chewing gum. Like, you'll notice I always have to be doing something, grabbing Slim Jims or something, because it just distracts me from worrying too much about the line. So I'm always chewing gum, grabbing Slim Jims. My hands are always up to something. I'm holding a pen right now just to keep myself settled.
Wow.
It's the ADD.
So, Brian, I mean, the same thing for you. I mean, you were doing stage work, and all of a sudden you move into a movie, and it's Clerks.
Oh, well, at the time, we didn't know what it was, and there was no expectation out of it from my end of it. I mean, when I first read it, I thought it was hysterical, but the subject matter and the language used to tell that subject matter was something that was never really put into mainstream films that I've seen before. So I always thought that it was at least something that I'd have on video that I can watch with a whole bunch of friends and laugh at, you know, have
and
a good laugh with.
Now, having the experience both ways, and you've been in a lot of Kevin Smith's movies, being on stage and being on film, you've also been doing stage work in between, right? Did I hear you were in Godspell?
I did, not the original one in the 70s, but yeah, I've been in a production of that and a production of Fiddler on the Roof and, you know, most of your classic type of American theater.
And what do you prefer?
You know what? The actor in me prefers stage because, you know, you're as an actor, you can take a story from beginning to end every night and, you know, really find some nice nuances about it because you feel the immediate response from the audience. You can change things up, you know. But the bank account in me loves the film industry because not from the first film but from prior films after that. You know, it's nice to have the insurance that the Screen Actors Guild offers.
Oh, well, insurance, because you're not getting paid for this. I'm not getting paid for this.
Well, not this. Okay. Not at all.
Well, Clerks, though, I mean, has since made an incredible amount of money in the DVD market, and there's the 10th anniversary edition that came out. So do you guys see any of that?
Thanks for bringing up such a painful thing.
An incredible amount of money off this $25,000 movie. Oddly enough, Clerks still hasn't gone into profit. Isn't that interesting?
They keep saying they haven't made their $27,000 back.
Hollywood accounting.
Yeah,
gotta love it.
If they were selling
fuzzy
DVDs.
Math, it's fuzzy math. I've got to tell you.
I'm gonna offer you some advice, my friend. Let the past be the past. Forget Caitlin Bree. You've been with Veronica how long now?
7 months.
Chick's nuts about you. How long did you date Caitlin?
5 years.
Chick only made you nuts, man. She cheated on you how many times?
8.5.
8.5?
Party at John Kay's senior year. I get blitzed, pass out in his bedroom. Caitlin comes in and jumps all over me.
So that's cheating?
No, in the middle of it, she called me Brad.
She called you Brad?
She called me Brad.
So let's talk a little bit about the new movie. Clerks 2 is now, I mean, it'll be out on theater screens, what, about 3 weeks away still?
July 21st, yep.
And so Dante and Randall have moved from the video store to Moobies.
What the heck is a Moobies?
It's a fast food restaurant, the logical step up on the employment chain.
So how did you guys end up, I mean, your characters, how did you end up going from the video store to the fast food joint?
You know, I'm not quite sure exactly how that happened. When Kevin Smith originally approached me with the idea of Clerks 2, they were supposed to have gone from the Quick Stop to an amusement park, like sort of this low-rent amusement park. And I guess when Kevin and Scott Mosier, his producer, really thought about doing the amusement park, they thought it was just too big of a location and it was outdoors. You'd have to deal with weather and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure when the fast food thing came up. But
well, Moobies has been kind of a running gag through a lot of his movies. And Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, it's in
exactly,
there.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's the his fast food chain that he created, and it started in Dogma and moved on from there. So, you know, he doesn't want the lawsuits to be that blatant.
And when we open the new movie in Clerks 2, the very first scene is very much a throwback to the old movie. It's shot in black and white, and your character is coming up to the Quick Stop.
Yeah, pretty much the exact same shot and everything. But this time, it's not just gum in the locks that's jamming the thing's clothes. I open it up quite easily to find that the place is on fire.
And I mean, you go through all of the machinations, and you've got a new boss. And I don't want to tell too much of the story here, but let's talk about your
boss.
Co-star.
Yeah, co-star. God, I wish I really had a boss like this in real life.
Yeah.
Portrayed by Rosario Dawson. She plays Becky in the movie, who's our boss at the fast food place.
She's lovely. She really is.
She is lovely. Mm. I enjoyed the way you said that.
Rosario.
She's lovely.
What's she like in person? I mean,
She's lovely.
She's lovely.
Rosario is truly a cool person. I always throw this out. My greatest compliment to Rosario, you know, you never know what you're going to get. You're throwing an A-list celebrity into the world of Clerks. This could have gone horribly wrong. But we shot at this location, which was the Moobies. It was an old Burger King that we took over. And adjacent to that was a Days Inn. So instead of having trailers, we just had rooms at the luxurious
hotel.
Days Inn.
Nice.
But one of the coolest things was Rosario, when she came to the set, you know, we all don't quite know what to think of, you know, her coming and this and that, but she moved into a room at the Days Inn. She literally went to Target and went shopping and got some stuff to spruce up her Days Inn room and moved in. And I always think that that's quite a compliment to pay to her because she didn't have to do that.
Yeah, and
you know, we shot in L.A. She could have gone home at the end of the day, but she was right there hanging out playing cards.
Yeah, and anybody who can make granny glasses look that good, there's got to be somebody to hang out with. So the experience of making the movie, and this is something else I wanted to get into, because in Clerks, it was made on a shoestring, and we talked about how all of that was done. And I can't imagine that there was a lot of room for, anything extra. On the DVDs, there's been a couple of deleted scenes, but there couldn't have been much of that to begin with, was there?
There is my favorite scene when I read the script was actually cut out of Clerks 2.
Oh.
So stay tuned for your DVD. It was a scene that caused me some trouble to learn because it's predominantly my character talking to Brian's character, and it's about a 7 or 8 page scene whereby I'm trying to convince Dante that he could in fact impregnate his own mother through masturbation. That was cut out of the movie, but that is worth the price of a DVD for that scene. The scary part is he makes a convincing argument.
Well, yeah, and that's the great thing about Randall, and I was waiting for that while I was watching Clerks 2 the other day at the screening, is those moments that he says something completely outrageous, and yet he leaves you thinking, wow, that's not quite as weird as it sounded when I got into this. But I mean,
okay, we've learned something about you.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I don't like to reveal too much during the show, but
you already have.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father. Han gets frozen and taken away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. I mean, that's what life is, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
There was something else going on in Jedi. I never noticed it till today. They build another Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Now, the first one was completed and fully operational before the Rebels destroyed it.
Luke blew it up. Give credit where credit's due.
And the second one was still being built when they blew it up.
Compliments of Lando Calrissian.
Something just never sat right with me that second time around. I could never put my finger on it, but something just wasn't right.
And you figured it out.
The first Death Star was manned by the Imperial Army. The only people on board were stormtroopers, dignitaries, Imperials.
Basically.
So when they blew it up, no problem. Evil's punished.
And the second time around?
The second time around, it wasn't even done being built yet. It was still under construction.
So?
So a construction job of that magnitude would require a hell of a lot more manpower than the Imperial Army had to offer. I bet they brought independent contractors in on that thing. Plumbers, aluminum siders, roofers.
Not just Imperials. Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. In order to get it built quickly and quietly, they'd hire anybody that can do the job. Think the average stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet main? All they know is killing in white uniforms.
All right, so they bring in independent contractors. Why are you so upset at its destruction?
All those innocent contractors brought in to do the job were killed. Casualties of a war they had nothing to do with. All right, look. You're a roofer. Some juicy government contract comes your way. You got a wife and kids, the two-story in suburbia. This is a government contract, which means all sorts of benefits. Along come these left-wing militants and blast everything within a 3-mile radius with their lasers. You didn't ask for that. You have no personal politics. You're just trying to scrape out a living.
The cartoons is something that came out in 2000, right?
Yeah.
The animated series. How much different is that to come in and do voice work for these characters? I mean, you know them so well, but when you go into a studio and there's no set around you and you're just standing in front of a microphone.
Well, to begin with, I mean, the cartoon series, animated series that we did, that world is a separate world unto itself. I mean, you have the freedom to do anything you want. So because all you have to do as the actor to get that presence across without drawing it yourself is to just really up the ante with your vocal type of inflection on these characters. And so it was great. That was one of the best times we've ever had with these characters because the world was so open and we weren't restrained by anything. And we had such great guest stars to come in and do voices as well. It's that type of feeling where, man, God, I wish this could go on forever. And as a matter of fact, in working since then, we developed these type of different versions of Dante and Randall where Kevin would refer to him as, can you give us a little more cartoon Randall, where it was more like animated and the inflections was higher or lower, and same thing with Dante. So when we were on set for this one, we would have to toy with the blend of both to get certain things out.
Yeah, you'd be doing a scene, and from somewhere far off by the monitor, you'd hear, cartoon, cartoon! So you need to sort of bring up your energy a little more and get a little more animated.
Yeah.
Do you? And I know, Jeff, that you've got a movie of your own too that you.
Yeah, I wrote and directed a movie a couple of years back called Now You Know, that the character in Clerks 2 named Elias is played by Trevor Furman. Trevor Furman was actually cast in my film, and that's where Kevin saw him. But it stars Jeremy Sisto and Rashida Jones and has Heather Page Kent and Liz Sheridan from Seinfeld. It's kind of an oddball romantic comedy that the Weinstein Company is going to be putting out, I guess, alongside of Clerks 2. It's going to do a straight-to-DVD type thing.
And from the new movie, and I mean, it's not out yet, so we don't want to reveal too much about it, but is there a scene that did make the cut, that is on the screen, that for both of you is just your favorite piece of the movie?
Well, besides kissing Rosario Dawson on the set, which, Rosario.
She's lovely.
You know, I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, I really can't say because it would give too much away on the scene.
Yeah, that's tough because
there's some of the best bits are some of our favorite scenes.
Your corrupting Elias over the course of the movie is a wonderful thing to watch. His character turns completely.
Yeah, I enjoy some of that stuff. I mean, it's everything. It's so hard to pull a scene out of
it. Right, there's the argument between Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and that type of thing.
There's a donkey show, for God's
sake. There
is
a donkey show.
Rated R? How did that happen?
And yet the movie remains true in the sense that there's still a sort of small, cozy feel to the production. I mean, because there was money in this one, it's in color, and there's a few more sets.
Right. It's kind of good. I mean, he really got the best blend of everything in the sense that he said, you know, that he was able to keep it very similar to the first one, yet different, yet not too similar, and brought in more emotional range between the relationship between the Dante and Randall characters, which I think will be surprising to people when they see it.
And without giving away the ending, is there room for a third one?
Grumpier old clerks.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the next time you'll see these guys is probably in an animated feature straight to TV, like in 2 years or so.
Yeah, I think if we did Clerks and then came in here and did Clerks 2 and people enjoyed Clerks 2, we'd be messing with fire to do 3. We should just tiptoe away from this quietly.
Yeah. All right. Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson, thank you both. You've been very generous with your time, and we hope you have a good time in St. Louis.
Thank you so much.
Take care, guys. There's more Two Johns No Waiting coming up. It is a Friday night on News Talk 1120 KMOX.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father, Han gets frozen and taken away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. I mean, that's what life is, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
There was something else going on in Jedi. I never noticed it till today. They build another Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Now, the first one was completed and fully operational before the Rebels destroyed it.
Luke blew it up. Give credit where credit's due.
And the second one was still being built when they blew it up.
Compliments of Lando Calrissian.
Something just never sat right with me that second time around. I could never put my finger on it, but something just wasn't right.
And you figured it out.
The first Death Star was manned by the Imperial Army. The only people on board were stormtroopers, dignitaries, Imperials.
Basically.
So when they blew it up, no problem. Evil's punished.
And the second time around?
The second time around, it wasn't even done being built yet. It was still under construction.
So?
So a construction job of that magnitude would require a hell of a lot more manpower than the Imperial Army had to offer. I'll bet they brought independent contractors in on that thing. Plumbers, aluminum siders, roofers.
Not just Imperials. Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. In order to get it built quickly and quietly, they'd hire anybody that can do the job. Think the average stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet main? All they know is killing in white uniforms.
All right, so they bring in independent contractors. Why are you so upset at its destruction?
All those innocent contractors brought in to do the job were killed. Casualties of a war they had nothing to do with. All right, look. You're a roofer. Some juicy government contract comes your way. You got a wife and kids, the two-story in suburbia. This is a government contract, which means all sorts of benefits. Along come these left-wing militants and blast everything within a 3-mile radius with their lasers. You didn't ask for that. You have no personal politics. You're just trying to scrape out a living.